This morning, let me encourage you to remain seated, but take your Bibles and let us ponder upon a verse this morning in the Gospel of John, but a little bit beyond where Michael led us earlier, in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. As we are pondering in this season, this December Advent season of why would Jesus come, let's look at John 12 for one of the reasons why Jesus said he came. If you'll remember, if you've been here or perhaps you were not here, the first week we looked out of the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and Jesus said that he came to the world that we might have life and life abundant, that we would come out of the judgment of death for sin and have life in him before a holy Father. And then last week we took a look at the Gospel of Luke, and there Jesus in that encounter with Zacchaeus, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And then today a third, if you will, mission or purpose statement, just a rephrasing really of the singular purpose for which Christ has come. But if you'll look at verse 46 with me, and then I want to ponder the theme of which he is opening up for us in John chapter 12, verse 46. I have come into the world. Now that phrase, I've really not made much of this before, but even before, when I have come that they might have life, the idea of Christ coming into the world, that is the eternal Son of God breaking into his very own creation, even becoming a part of his creation. I have come into the world, implying that he came from outside of this world. I have come into the world. For what purpose would the Son of God put on this robe of flesh, as we sang earlier? I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Father, we would pray, having read that there are those in darkness and those in light, and that those who believe in Jesus are those in the light, would you please then help us to believe? And those who do believe, that we would become even stronger in our faith, more in awe in the midst of our faith, more worshipful because of our faith, more active in our faith. We praise you for doing something that we could not do on our own, and that is shining the light of hope and joy and peace through Christ into the darkness of this world, and into the darkness of our hearts. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. This is a season of light. You turn on the radio or you ride around, you'll see the billboards for the opportunity to ride through festivals of lights. Either here in Monk's Corner or down there in James Island, you have the opportunity to, perhaps your family, as the tradition was ours when I was a boy and when our children were young, driving through the neighborhoods and looking at everybody else's lights during this season. Or you at your own home, you have perhaps put up a tree of remembering the tree of Christ, and you are thinking about the work of Christ in the season, and yet what do? You decorate it not only with little pieces of colored glass or plastic, if you will, but also with lights. And many of you on the top, you put on a light. Why the emphasis on light? Do we worship light? No. We worship the one who came to be light for us, lost in a dark world, lost with darkness in our hearts, lost with a gloomy, dark cloud of judgment over us. Every Christmas light you see, I hope, reminds you of the one who came as light into the darkness of the world. When you do, perhaps, take that ride around the neighborhood, perhaps a modified catechism question for those in the car. These lights are beautiful, but who is the light of the world? Who is the one who came to be light, not just for a season, but forever? Well, the Lord Jesus came to be the light. The Lord Jesus is the light of the world, not just for a season, but for eternity. This is the reason for the emphasis. Why? And why is it that we are attracted to light? Because light implies hope. Light implies peace or security. That's why when children are frightened with the dark in their bed, what's one of the things that they put in their bed? They put a flashlight. They turn it on because in the dark they're afraid, but the light gives hope. Peace. Jesus has come into the world that we would have hope and peace. Do not miss. I don't know. Certainly God does nothing by accident, right? That nothing surprises God, and God is never going to plan B. I don't know if this was the designed intention of the timing, but don't miss when the light of the world was born into the world, not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was during the night watch of the shepherds, when all was darkness, Christ was born into the world. Do not miss that symbolism of everything dark. And here comes the light into the world, that men may be no longer remaining in the darkness. So this morning, let's focus a little bit, if you will, on this imagery that Jesus is playing upon. Let us concentrate on the issue of darkness for a moment, and then the good news of light. And we see here the natural state of mankind is darkness. The natural state of mankind, of every man and woman, boy and girl, is darkness. Well, why do you say that? Why are we marked by darkness? And I've given you some of the verses that I'll read from today. Psalm 107, verses 10 through 11. As God says that there were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners, says the Scriptures, in misery and chains, because why were they in darkness? Because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurn the counsel of the Most High. We might would repel the notion that I'm in darkness. I see light out there and I can see you. Certainly I'm not in darkness. But the question is not how we might perceive ourselves, but what God says about us. The question really is not, are you okay with God? Because that puts who as the judge of the relationship? Me. And what's going to happen when I'm the judge of my relationship with God? Well, I'm not so bad. And I'm certainly not so bad as him or her. Sorry if I'm pointing at somebody particularly, I'm not meaning to. Really, the question is, God okay with us? Then who becomes the judge of that relationship? God. God has announced that as we are in our sin, there is a darkness over us and within us. A darkness of the heart that wants to continually rebel against God. Oh, we might not blaspheme his name. We might not take his Bible and burn it in the public square. far too easily we become unmindful of Him. And in our own, perhaps unintentional, sometimes intentional ways, we seek to dethrone Him and live as if we were the ruler of our universe. In Proverbs 4, 18 and 19, there's words of hope and yet words of soberness. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day, but the way of the wicked is like darkness. It goes on in Proverbs chapter 2, talks about those who leave the paths of uprightness, who speak perverse things, who walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil, who rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. This is the state of all of us left to ourselves. Notice that at the coming of Jesus, there is not this pivot point where once we encounter Jesus, we either go to light or we go to darkness. Read Jesus' words again in John 12, 46. I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not what? Remain in darkness. All men, all women, all children are in darkness. But Christ comes that we would have hope. Christ comes that we would have light and peace with the Father. But darkness is not only a description of the wickedness of our own hearts and our own minds and our desire to rule ourselves, but darkness is also symbolic of the guilt that we feel when we do become aware of our sin. And we want to perhaps at first rationalize or try to get away from it or drink away our guilt or have fun so much to hide away our guilt. But there it is, this cloud of guilt over our sin that does bubble up when the Lord is at work in us. I think of Adam and Eve. And they sinned. Remember, they ate the fruit that was forbidden of them. And here comes the Lord God. And what do? They go to hide out of shame. Well, how many of you played hide and go seek? Right? Or I was told another name for that for grown children who like to play the game. Manhunt, I think, is what we call it when we get older. So hide and seek for the younger. But you play that in the light of the day. What do you go to do? You go somewhere dark, don't you? Not to be found. Adam and Eve go to hide from God. They don't go stand in the middle of the garden out in the open. Where they have to go find somewhere they think is dark to hide from God's sight. But God sees all and knows all. There's a guilt of darkness, a darkness of guilt that hangs over us, and a darkness of judgment as well. Listen to these verses. Exodus 10:22 is a moment when Moses is expressing God's displeasure and judgment over Egypt. And so Moses in Exodus 10:22 stretched out his hand toward the sky, and there was thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. Zephaniah speaking of the great day of the Lord in which there will be the final judgment. And one of the descriptions that he talks about is it will be a day of wrath. In that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And what occurred when the judgment of all of the redeemed fell upon the shoulders of our Savior? Darkness for 3 hours. The cross. Jesus himself spoke of this coming darkness in Matthew 8, Because of their lack of faith, the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into the outer darkness. Now, the sons of the kingdom here he means not those who are believers, but those who are of Israel, who do not receive the invitation to come to him. They shall be cast out into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, Jesus says in another parable in Matthew 22, that when there's the great wedding invitation and one shows up not dressed appropriately, i.e. the robe of righteousness, Jesus says, bind him hand and foot and cast him into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, and cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. So that you see repeatedly, even Jesus' own lips, this awareness that those who are in sin and refuse the invitation of His kingdom, His kingship, His redeeming love and sacrifice, they will be destined, therefore, to keep on that journey of darkness for all eternity. Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Left to ourselves, that's where we are. But, Christ has come into the world to be light, so that whoever believes in Him will not remain in the darkness. That is the good news of this season. And just as that dark night sky there shrouded in a black velvet shield above the shepherds breaks open with the brilliance of the angels announcing good news, we need to hear this verse as a bursting announcement of good news. That though we are perhaps, or though we are marked by sin, in Christ there's hope. As I find myself in darkness and I look for the light, Christ is the light. Come to Him and no longer remain in the darkness. Have be done with the rule of sin in your life. Be done with this cloud of guilt that is within you because of the conscience that has been awakened by God. Be done with that guilty cloud of darkness and come to Christ, in whom all are forgiven. Praise the Lord, so that whoever believes in me. Well, Pastor Ken, do you believe that everyone's going to believe? No, I don't. Christ says this in this very same chapter. But here's the good news. Whoever does may come to the light. And so this is my encouragement for all to hear. Rather than coming up with excuses why you cannot come to Christ, hear His sure promise. Whoever believes, will you believe? That Christ came into the world to deliver us out of darkness. This brings us to the second point here. The supernatural gift of Christ is light. The supernatural gift of Christ was not a motivational speech, just do more. Be better. Was not the gift of Christ during this season. The gift of Christ in this season is, I am the light. I am your hope. I am your joy. I am your peace with God. And whoever believes in me will be brought out of the darkness. David, as Samuel's writing, David was aware that he himself had no capacity to bring light to his life. He says in 2 Samuel 22:29, "For Thou, O Lord, art my lamp, and the Lord illumines my darkness." Again, in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" 2 Corinthians 4, 5-6, Paul in defending his ministry, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus is Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Are you seeking after God? All the glory of His light is on His Son, the Lord Jesus. You cannot have a relationship with this ethereal, vague God, except that you have relationship with His Son. You cannot, says the Scriptures, come to an understanding of the Father without coming through the Son. If your goal is God, the light of the path is Christ, who gave His life for us on the cross. At His birth, it is said of Jesus in Luke 2:32 that He came to be a light of revelation, not only to His own people, but to the Gentiles and the glory of His people. He came, what did we read in John chapter 1 as Michael was reading for us? Let's look back at that again. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We are to believe that Christ is the light of the world. Calvin, in musing upon this symbolism, wrote, now since John teaches that life was in Christ from the beginning, you know, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were created through Him, right? And life is in the Word and became light. Calvin says, now since John teaches that life was in Christ from the beginning and all the world fell away from it, we're all in darkness because of sin, it is necessary, therefore, to return to that source of life through the light of Christ. Hear these other words of Jesus in John 8:12. Again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. This Christmas season, as you're pondering the gift of Christ, as you're perhaps at the water cooler, and you're talking about this season, and perhaps a coworker or maybe a family member that's coming in, and they're talking about the lights that they were able to see, and they were just awesome. Maybe you speak with them a bit about the light of the world, who's much more awesome. Or when you're talking to one who's just musing a little bit about having the family on a dark night with the Christmas tree on, the lights, and all was so peaceful and joyful. Maybe ask them, but do you know there's another light whose peace and joy is unending and ever increasing? Would you like to know about that light? This week, as you're talking with individuals about the season, you're talking about Christ, or maybe better yet, last 24 hours, murder in New York, assassination of two New York policemen, directly given credit to, this is a result of others in the month who chanted, "We want cops dead." And you're going to be talking tomorrow. It'll be the first time that you're at work. And all the talk will be what? The darkness of our world. The darkness of our world. The darkness of our world. What better opportunity this week then to talk about, yes, but there is a light that outshines the darkness. Let our conversations be peppered with light. Pastor Ken, you're just wanting to be rosy-eyed about the darkness. No, the darkness is all around us. And you and I need to remind each other of the light that overcomes the world. If Far too many of us spend too much time complaining about the darkness instead of praising the one who came to be light. That's our goal. That's our call. That's our privilege. We who have been given the light, to make much of the light, not much of the darkness. The fallen world can see the darkness. And my heart needs you to remind me to stop focusing on the darkness. To focus on Him who is the light. We who have been called out of darkness into light, we are to walk then, as he says there in John 8, that we have been called out of the darkness and to walk in the ways of light. As Luke 1, 78 through 79 says, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high shall visit us. What's that sunrise from on high? Is he talking about that ball of fire that we are rotating around in our solar system? No. He's referencing Malachi. Malachi 4, the verse that was on the wall before, as you were coming in, that there would be coming the Son of Righteousness. The Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness, with healing in its wings. This is what Matthew is writing about. With which the sunrise from on high shall visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness. There we were before Christ. To shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace according to the light of His righteousness. His way is light. So as we follow, as we believe in the light, let us walk in the light. And not seek to walk with one leg in light and one leg in darkness. Let us be wholehearted in pursuing the light who has called us, that He might live in us and shine through us, which would be another outworking of our coming into the light. We would walk in the light. We would walk according to the righteousness with which He gives to us. And we would shine. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men. Why? In such a way that they may see your good works. Here's the end result. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. This week, we who have been rescued from the darkness of eternity, let us go and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. In both, I'm trying to think of how to say this, because I can make a case for either metaphor, both an emanating light, and if you're uncomfortable with that, a reflecting light. An emanating light in that if Christ lives in us, and He's the light of the world, how in the world can anybody around us call us gloomy? Right? And at this point, I'm preaching to myself as well. If the light of the world is within me, should not that His presence in me shine for others to, as they walk about groping in darkness, be attracted to Christ in me like a moth in the dark to a light bulb at night? But maybe that makes you uncomfortable. So at least a reflective light, because any good that is in us is only a result of the goodness, the righteousness that the Father gives to us in Christ. And so we're reflecting that light and a deflecting of any glory from ourselves unto the Lord Himself so that He would be made much of. The apostles, as they are giving an apology, a defense of their ministry, in Acts 13:47, for thus the Lord has commanded us, as He's referring back to Isaiah, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth. Not that they themselves are being new messiahs bringing salvation. new saviors as they go, but they are bringing the message of salvation, the message of light with them. And you and I, as we shine for Christ with our good deeds, also have words of light to shine. Because how will they believe if they do not hear? Or how will they hear, and how will they hear if they do not have someone to speak words to them? And that's us. Forget which of the Pauline epistles, forgive me, talks about us being stars that shine. And the words that we use with the message of Christ. So we walk and we shine. We walk in the light. We shine this light so that the Father may be made much of as we confess the work of Christ. And then we proclaim. This is that words moment. And Paul, as he's towards the end of Acts, he says that his ministry is to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Now, does Paul have the power to make a dead man's eyes that cannot see? Does he have the ability to give life to them and therefore then they can see and hear the words of the gospel? No. So in what sense then does Paul open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light? It's with his words that the Holy Spirit uses as he's proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. In order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And you would say, well, that's just Paul. Well, I'll take the excuse away from you then. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, as Peter is writing to a dispersed band of believers who have been undergoing persecution. In 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, but you, y'all, if Peter was writing in the south, but y'all, he wasn't speaking to just one singular person, but all of you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, scattered over the known world, yes, but a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received the mercy of God. During this season, as we think of those moments of the... perhaps I was thinking... as the Blauks were playing, of the angels bursting upon the scene of those shepherds. And the glory of the Lord filling the heavens. At first, my heart was just caught by that. Just what would that have looked like? There's a greater glory than the angels in the heavens that came for just a few moments. The glory of the light of Christ Himself, who will be the Son of Heaven. For Revelation tells us there will be no sun. There will be no need for what? A sun, because the Lamb is the sun, is the light of glory for all those who are there. And one day, those of us who have turned from our darkness and turned unto Christ, believing Him as our Savior, we shall live in that emanating, radiating glory forever and ever. Why? Because I'm such a good guy? Because Christ, perfect in eternity past, came into the world not to remain as a babe, but to grow and become a man, to give His life on the cross so that the punishment, the dark sentence of death over our souls would be removed from us, that through His death and resurrection, we would move from darkness to light. no longer counted the enemies of God, but children of the light. This season, dear children of the light, let us remember the one who has made us children of light, the light himself. And let us renew ourselves to walk, as the scriptures say, as children of light, to proclaim his excellent mercies, to shine that he receives glory. And those of you who have not yielded to Christ, may I simply say, you see where you are and where you will remain without Christ. But whoever will believe in him may come to the light. Believe and do not delay. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning that you would do a searing work in our hearts. That this imagery of light and dark, which is such a part of our natural world, would be used by you to remind us of the supernatural truths. I pray, Father, that as we turn on the Christmas tree lights, that we'll immediately think of Jesus, the light of the world. When we perhaps drive through that festival of lights or the neighborhood in which we live in, just taking a casual drive and looking at the lights, may there be a praise that comes up off our lips. Praise the one who breaks the darkness. Perhaps, Father, even in the normalcy of entering our dark house and we flip that switch and a light comes on, that we would not have to grope in darkness. May we be reminded of the one who sets us on solid ground and gives us light to guide our paths. Father, we thank you for the good news of Christ coming into the world. And now, would you help us? We have three ways in which to talk to those around us, within our families, in our neighborhoods, in our spheres of influence and circles. As the Christmas season is talked about, may we have opportunity to speak of the purpose or mission statements of Jesus that we've looked at. That we might have life, and that abundantly. That we would be thankful that Christ Jesus came to seek and to save. And that because of Christ, we no longer remain in the darkness of sin or guilt or death or judgment. But we have come to the light of life and hope and joy and peace with you. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.